live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 159. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you, buddy?
Brandon Reif, what's going on, man? I know episode 159, I know that's what's going on. Dude, I'm just trying to enjoy this spring weather, dude. That's what's going on with me, though.
Yeah, 73 degrees yesterday and a balmy 40-something and a balmy 38 degrees tomorrow. So, got to love Indiana weather.
Right now, right?
You know, yeah.
It might take a turn for the worse, but I don't know. I haven't really studied the extended forecast, man. You know why? It's been too much basketball being played to kind of worry about anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I want to kind of talk about the show we got tonight. We obviously got college basketball at the forefront here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got the tournament, the NCAA tournament down to the final four teams. We're down to those last four. It's been a hell of a ride there. We've got Indiana, the Hoosiers getting their new head coach. We'll talk that. We've got some other shakeups around the coaching carousel within the college. We've got some NFL notes, some NBA, and John, we got MLB. MLB opening day is tomorrow. I'm excited. I'm stoked. MLB opening day tomorrow. And then we have also tonight at 7 o'clock, special guest joining us, Connor Brownfield, ABA and arena announcer for the Indiana Lions team. So he'll be joining us at a 7 o'clock hour this evening. But, John, I need to start tonight's show with one thing. I've been defeated.
Uh-oh. Why is that, man?
I'm defeated because I can't do it anymore. I've been tapped into submission. I've been a loyal fan, a loyal subject the last couple of years with YouTube TV, how I've enjoyed their streaming, whether it be TV shows, movies, HD, their DVR, or their sports network, just how great everything has been, their great price. I've gave in. I've tapped out, John. I have now gone to the dark side and went to AT&T TV as of today. Because...
Well, I mean, I know there's a reason behind it, man. There's a lot of, you know what I'm saying, bogusness going on with YouTube TV as far as NBA games, and particularly the Pacers, showing Pacers games or not. So is that the primary reason?
Well, it was partly that. So I get my Pacer games back now, which, sorry, Reg, I get my Pacer games back. But also, John, baseball season starting up, I would not have gotten my Cincinnati Reds, any of my Reds games either, because those are on the Fox Sports Ohio or Midwest station, you want to call it. Those are on that station, so I would get no Cincinnati Reds ball games. Obviously, you don't get any Chicago Cubs games. I know the Cubs are probably going to suck this year, but you don't get Cubs games because they're on the marquee network. But when I was looking at AT&T TV today, you get the Indiana, you get your Pacer games, you get your Reds games, you get the marquee network with the Cubs games, and I get some channels that YouTube TV doesn't have, which is crazy that they don't have the Weather Channel and stuff like that. Like, that should be a commonality to have those type of channels. So I was able to get that. I get a two-week trial with it. So we'll see how that goes. But I feel like I just got tapped into submission. I wasn't going to do it. You pay a little more, but you get more, I guess, right? But here it is. I also get HBO Max. That you get that for a year free.
Okay, that's good. I've been on the HBO Max. You know what I'm saying, train for like the last 2 weeks or so. So I'm kind of okay with it. But yeah, you know what I'm saying, this is the way the world is with streaming.
Yeah, so tomorrow I'll be watching a little Kong versus Godzilla tomorrow, so don't spoil it for me.
No, absolutely, man. I won't. I promise.
So I can't believe I turned to the dark side, but I guess see the Pacers game tonight a little bit, even though I don't know what to expect with this team because it's bad enough. But let's get started. We have the first 6 minutes just talking about me going to the dark side. College basketball. diving straight into that. Let's go before we even take over the NCAA tournament, the final four teams that we have. We got to talk the Indiana Hoosiers, John. The Indiana Hoosiers hire Mike Woodson, former player, former head coach of the Knicks, former coach of the Hawks, assistant coach currently of the Knicks. Mike Woodson, the hire, probably wasn't the first choice, wasn't the second choice, probably wasn't the third choice, but hey, Indiana Hoosier fans, the fourth pick is your choice, Mike Woodson.
Yeah, the Hoosiers get their man, right? I know a lot of people are happy about it. You have somebody from the Knight family tree, finally back in the big seat, right? I know, but for most people, including myself, I'm kind of like, let's wait and see what this Woodson era kind of brings, man. Just because of some of the strength, from a leadership point of view, you know what I'm saying? I call it strange, man. It is what it is, man. And like how it was put together. So he's the head coach. But Thad Mata is like an assistant athletic director overseer.
So weird.
So again,
so weird.
Yeah. That's a little weird. I mean, we all know Thad Mata from being a godfather from Butler. From years past, right? We kind of know Thad Mata for being a coach. I mean, really, assistant is what I'm trying to say. And then the other shoe kind of fell where. Larry Brown, a name that the Indiana folks know from, you know, from Pacers and in basketball from Pacers from over 20 years ago. So, you know what I'm saying? And then basketball people know in general, Larry Brown.
Yeah, Larry Brown, I don't get that.
Yeah, Larry Brown's a basketball. We could call him a basketball genius. He has a deep ties with the North Carolina Tar Heels program, deep ties in the NBA, whether it's with the Pacers, the San Antonio Spurs, it's Denver Nuggets, you know what I'm saying? He won a championship in Detroit. We all know Larry Brown is basketball royalty, but, you know what I'm saying, for him to kind of come back to college and to be in an advisory role, especially 5 years removed from putting Esther, you know what I'm saying, if anybody remembers, and it's not to shade Larry Brown. Again, I gave you glowing. Like, you're telling me, Larry Brown, he's basketball royalty. But 5 years ago, when he was with the head coach at SMU, he left them, and you know, it's nothing for SMU being in sanctions or NCAA shambles or anything. But yeah, they're on probation. So
yeah,
I just really don't understand. Like we hire IU hires a head coach to be the leader of the program and to lead IU and to get out of the doldrums of being constantly talked about is like, are they going to win today? Are they going to win this week? Are they going to win anything outside of beating Nebraska and Northwestern or some of the lesser-known Big Ten teams? You know what I'm saying? And then we have these other satellite fixtures, you know what I'm saying? And they're prominent. They're not just, you know what I'm saying, guys that just going kind of like background guys. They're prominent. Thad Mata is himself basketball royalty in the college world. So
it used to be.
Weird, Brandon.
Used to be. I think Thad Mata is more of a name, John, because, yeah, if you look at Thad Mata, John, he kind of left not on good terms at Ohio State. I mean, if you go back and look, the last time he coached, 2016, 2017, Ohio State, they were just two games above 500, 17 and 15. So it's not a, hey, he left on top and they were this, but, you know, they were – they went from 21 and 14 the year before to 17 and 15. They were getting worse under Thad Mata towards the end of that run there. So it's weird that he's hired as the AD, but maybe he's taking over the basketball duties to kind of lead Mike Woodson and to say, hey, this is how we're going to go about recruiting and such. But we talked about previously, whoever they ended up hiring, if it wasn't an IU guy, they needed to have strong ties with these assistant coaches for recruiting. Now they got Mike Woodson. They're going to hopefully surround people around Woodson that can sit there and help go recruit. The fact that, we talked about it off air about the press conference where, you know, previously people want you to win it in the press conference. You win the press conference, but you don't win out on the floor. This time we didn't really hear too much during the press conference of scheme or what we're looking for. It's more of a thank you and we're bringing it back to the old days. And, I got to thank this person. I got to thank Quinn Buckner. Don't even get me started on Quinn Buckner. All right. His announcing is one thing with the Pacers, but Quinn Buckner, Okay, Quinn. Well, but here's the thing. Show us what you're going to do, Mike. Don't be talking about bring too many people. This, they're still trying to bring it back to the old Bob Knight days. And he even said himself, he wants to bridge old school IU with new school IU. Let them know who we are. Well, I'm sure if they can Google, they're going to Google and know who the hell you guys are. Do I think Mike Woods could be a head coach? Hell yeah. He was a good coach in the NBA with the Hawks and the Knicks. He knows his X's and O's. Can he recruit? Can he? The NBA life is a hell of a lot different from the college life, because you also got to keep right. these 18, 19, 20-year-olds out of trouble as well. So can he do that? Right. IU maybe looked at Mike Woodson and said, oh, you know, we can put him out there and just say, hey, NBA coach, he knows NBA talent. Yes, he's coached the talent, the Carmellos and all of them. But it doesn't mean that if you go to IU, you're automatically going to the NBA. Okay? And he's got work to do, because right now, you know, seven of the nine guys have quote-unquote entered the transfer portal. And now he's going to try to see if he can talk them out and then you know, start his recruiting process, get his coaches in there. But yeah, Larry Brown as an advisory with an office on campus. I just can't picture Larry Brown walking on Bloomington's campus every day. And to me,
right,
but
it just doesn't, right. Just like, I don't know, man. Like, you know,
this could end badly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To have all these hot coaches, whether it's Porter Moser, or whether it was Bennett from Virginia, or whether it was, you know, anybody on Cronin's staff, you know what I'm saying? All in your, you know what I'm saying, Mick Cronin from UCLA, in your backyard. We've had anybody from Michigan, you know what I'm saying, for like the last 3 weeks here in the Circle City, here in, you know, in Indiana's backyard. Again, I know I look for an IU guy. Guess what, Brandon and Crossroad listening audience, there's a lot of IU guys on all those benches, you know what I'm saying, believe it or not. It's just kind of, or there's a lot of guys, like I said, those hot names, they kind of play like how Indiana, I'm talking about the fans, how the Indiana kind of wants their team to play. So it's just real weird. I get it that they didn't hit the home run. They went up, they sent, you know what I'm saying, that I don't think that's the secret anymore. They sent, you know what I'm saying, olive branches and whatnot up to Brad and to Boston, and, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't want to come. So, you know, and then another olive branch was sent around to other. I'm not gonna go recant who we said, but again, the main one was Brad Stevens. So you didn't get him, but still, there were still other candidates that oh my goodness, again, like I said, that seemingly should have been, would have been, or shoe-ins. I mean, Dane Fife, Mike Lewis, all those guys are, you know what I'm saying, are on benches that they were here. That you know what I'm saying, they're tenured. It ain't like Dane Fife is 4 years away from IU. It ain't like, you know what I'm saying, Mike Lewis is 5 years away from playing his playing day. These guys have been assistant coaches for 12, 16 years now. You know what I'm saying? And it all depends on the individual. And so Calvin Chaney's name was out there as well. You alluded to Quinn Buckner being the – Quinn Buckner has Godfather powers, right? Because like somebody dry snitched a certain radio host here in the Circle City dry snitched on Quinn Buckner for not liking Steve Alford. Well, who has the real power here, Brandon? That's kind of like the second question I'd have. Who really has the power? Does Scott Dolson have the power of hiring and firing folks, or does it the alumni? Who in their deep pockets, and we all know they have deep pockets, whether it comes from, you know what I'm saying, the billionaire Mark Cuban or Isaiah Thomas, who played, you know, many a year in the NBA, or even Jared Jeffries, if you remember, Jared Jeffries got that $100 million contract from the Knicks, man, or somebody even like Quinn Buckner, who's always around the game, whether it's the pro game or the college game. And who really has the power here? And, like, where did this hire kind of come from? Nobody from the IU player side, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you follow a lot of folks on Twitter. I follow a lot of folks, IU alumni, player alumni, whether it's Allen Henderson or A.J. Guyton. All those kind of guys kind of love the move here. But unless A.J. Guyton or Allen Henderson is bringing in players to try to get to come to IU, like, again, I still think they're fighting an uphill battle here, especially when this particular fan base wants gratification. Like, if the season started tomorrow, they would want to jump. They would want to play Purdue tomorrow, right? You know what I'm saying? They would want to see how good they could be tomorrow. And I don't think, you know what I'm saying, as much as this has been a parade And I'm not saying, again, you said it, I'm not saying Mike Woodson is undeserving of this role, but, like, there's still a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. And just because we have a lot of these names, Thad Matta, Larry Brown, like, it, you know what I'm saying, they can't play. You know what I mean? So you got to have players out there to win and execute. So, again, I know it's going to be a contingency story to unfold. But, again, I just don't know where – I still don't know where the program's going. I really don't.
Yeah. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, no problem this week, man. No, not at all.
Well, it actually was because I was gone for 2 minutes.
Oh, like, wow.
It was just you talking for 2 minutes. The Facebook Live I had to take down again because there's more audio issues with Blog Talk Radio. So I apologize for those people watching on the Facebook Live. About to tweet out the link now for everybody to listen in, but it's they're having audio issues for the second straight week on a Wednesday, so I had to flip over to the phone and call. So, but
okay.
I picked up and it seemed like you knew I was gone, so that's perfect. Anyways, here's my thing, John, and I said this to you privately. I put it on Twitter and on the Facebook page and Twitter. Twitter, the Hoosier Faithful didn't have much to say about it. Indiana basketball is pretty much Nebraska football, okay?
Oh.
The fact that I'm sorry. When's the last time Indiana basketball did something? Did something meaningful? Obviously, it was Crean. They went to a couple of regional semifinals and so. But when's the last time they actually won something big? We're looking – last time they went to a national championship game was in 2002. But they're living on so much of the past of the five banners that are carrying dust down there in Bloomington right now. The fact is they're Nebraska football. Nebraska football used to be great, and now they think that Nebraska fans and their alumni think Nebraska's big my French shit don't smell, and everybody wants to go to Nebraska. Guess what? Not everybody does, just like everybody wants to go to Indiana, okay? If you look at the top 50 recruits in the United States, how many of them have Indiana on their list? Zero. Zero. Why? Because I looked. The top 50.
Oh.
Zero had Indiana on their list. Indiana is not a destination place for a college or a high school senior to go play basketball anymore. So it's not a top 10 coaching program. You saw that, John. It took four people for them to fill that seat because three others said no. So
right,
it's not
right.
This. So Hoosier Faithful need to get over this. We're still one of the top things in the teams in the country because you're not. And quit living in the past off your old credentials because not everybody wants to go there. Now, you can make it something, but let's think about it. You got rid of Kelvin Sampson, who was a great coach, who had a great staff when he – or that time there. He was 21-11 and then went 22-4 and then got canned for – let's look at it. Making what? Illegal phone calls? We fired a guy for making illegal phone calls, right?
Brent, that's the craziest thing, or Texas, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, man.
They fired a guy for making phone calls. When you look at all these other coaches who have done a hell of a lot more and are still there at their positions. Scott Drew,
right,
for one. John Calipari. Rick Pitino. You know? Look at these guys that did even a hell of a lot worse. You fired a guy because of phone calls. It still doesn't sit right for that, and I am proud that Kelvin Sampson is running the tables right now here in Indiana to stick it to all those IU alums.
I think – I wanted to get to that as well. I think – you know, the certain radio host that I was alluding to, obviously, is Dan Dockers, man. He tells half truths and half lies on the show, man. I call them the IU Mafia, right? I probably should just call them the IU, you know what I'm saying, the alumni. I don't think they like Kelvin Sampson. I think at some point –
I don't think they did either.
I think because he was 24-4. How do you fire that? When Bobby Knight sometimes went 22-10 and had bounced out early against Pepperdine. I don't think after a certain time they didn't like Crean anymore. You know what I'm saying? You can say Crean clashed with – this person in upper management or this person, you know what I'm saying, or whatnot, but, like, where's the president? Where's the provost? If you ain't clashing with Fred Glass, who at the time was the athletic director, then you should still have a job, right? You know what I'm saying? Tom Crean, the first 2 years were miserable. So again, they kind of hold that against him. Then when you got things kind of rolling again, I would say Tom Crean didn't necessarily win enough Big Ten banners, right? Because they did deliver. He did deliver some talent up there to get more than one. You know what I mean?
Right.
But again, losing seasons was not necessarily outside of those first two, maybe three seasons, wasn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, and we know what he had to deal with, you know what I'm saying, the first two seasons for sure. Losing seasons wasn't necessarily his calling card at IU. I think if you don't get along with the alumni, the IU mafia, they'll find a way, whether it's media created or whether, you know what I'm saying, or they'll dig up something. You said it, Brandon. Kevin Sampson got fired for texting recruits on days. Are days not supposed to text recruits? I get it. I technically it's in the rule book, but here's the thing: my man, Sean Miller out here is on wiretap with the FBI. You know what I'm saying? When they had issue paying DeAndre Ayton, you know, there's you know speculation about Zion Williamson, and did he get money to go to Duke? You know, again, that might be a separate ball of oranges, but. Come on, I mean, you know, it was smoke. I I do love Duke, man. Where there's smoke, there is fire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So again, my goodness, Boeheim also some issues where they're on probation or whatnot. So again, but he never did get fired because you know Boeheim walks on water in Syracuse. So again, man, if you don't get along with the IU mafia, man, they'll bounce you. But here's Brandon. This is what they want. So if Woodson goes out there, they'll find it. They'll make up something. If he doesn't win, either right away or in the long term, they'll be like, well, this kid didn't pan out because he didn't want to play hard. It'll be the kid's fault. This kid, it'll be this because this guy's mom or dad was on Twitter and complaining about their son. And that's part of the irritants too. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you have parents who have quick happy with their social media handles and whatnot. But like again, why? Why is the IU, anybody from the IU upper level, you know what I'm saying, coaching staff, athletic, why are they worrying about what somebody says on Twitter? You see what I'm saying?
Soft as Charmin.
Well, they'll say that the kid is soft. I bet again, I'm hoping that it works out. I really do. You know what I'm saying? Again, I always want to see, not saying that Coach Woodson is the first black coach to ever have at IU or anything like that. We don't.
And I'm glad you said
that
because I'm shocked as
well
with that.
Yeah, we're kind of past that ceremonious type of thing here. But I just want to make sure. I wouldn't be surprised that if it does go south, that they'll come up with some type of excuse. Well, we didn't get this kid. He wanted to go here and play with his friends in Butler. We didn't get this kid because he wanted to go play at Purdue. Man, this is what y'all want. This is y'all being the IU mafia, and this is what they're gonna have to deal with, man. So I hope it works out.
Yeah, and John, I am surprised that IU went with a black head coach because I wouldn't think they would. And you kind of said it about their track record. Their last one was Kelvin Sampson / Mike Davis, right? So,
yep.
And. Really, they didn't renew Mike Davis, which is crazy. That enough was a shot right there. Like, how the hell do you not renew this guy's contract after what he's done? You know,
right.
I know he took over a program, but still, he still had to execute. And then the way Kelvin Sampson, I was surprised they actually went with a black coach down there in Bloomington, especially, like you said, with IU Mafia and the snow globe that is Indiana basketball. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it goes well for him. But I think you said it, and I agreed with you when you put it on a text message to me that Purdue will own IU still for another 2 to 3 years before IU can kind of start building those pieces because they're losing everything. Al Durham completed his transfer. He's going to be playing at Providence next year. You know, Trace Jackson Davis hasn't made his decision yet. Some of these other guys, Christian Launder, who left – and reclassified. He was supposed to be a senior in high school this past year. He reclassified. Now he was entered into the transfer portal. So it'll be interesting to see. And I looked, John, there is over 1,000 players right now in the transfer portal across the United States for these colleges. And here's another thing. The seniors you have, they can come back if they want based off the COVID,
right.
the COVID NCAA rule. So that's going to be a play of factors. Who comes back on some of these teams? We just saw Butler. Butler's got all four of their seniors are all coming back. So, you know, what's that do to recruiting for your freshman guys you have coming in, you know?
Right. I tell you what, to put a bow on it, you better put some cupcakes on the old schedule there. for the next two seasons, man. They better put some cupcakes. I'm just being honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Your Big Ten schedule is going to be hard enough. I get it, RPI and all that kind of comes into play and whatnot. But regardless of who stays or who goes from that from this particular Archie Miller era, who you got coming in, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't hurt to get some couple cupcakes in front of you to at least front load your one loss record. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that. What do I have? Head coaches. Let's do head coaches before we talk NCAA Final Four. Chaka Smart was smart. I get it. Chaka Smart was smart. Left Texas before his ass was going to get canned and end up
yep.
taking the head coaching job at Marquette, which is the most perfect job for a Chaka Smart to take there. It almost fits so perfect there. But he was smart
right.
to get the hell out of Texas before – just like the IU Mafia, but the Texas Mafia going after
yep.
to pull him out.
Texas boosters are powered by oil money. Oil money makes people do strange things and turns athletic departments over to, you know what I'm saying, over to oil people who own oil fields, you know what I'm saying? That's why, it's, you know what I'm saying, in the Big 12, it's crazy. Whether it's Texas Tech or Texas, you know what I'm saying, they can damn near outbid anybody when it comes to – we all know they can outbid anybody when it comes to football. Texas just let go Tom Herman this past winter when he had a turned-in a winning record and went to a bowl game. They still fired him because they want to be on a pedestal. They want to be next to Alabama. They want to be next to Clemson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Tom Herman, I'm not to go off on you know what I'm saying again because we're talking about Chaka Smart. I guess you know what I'm saying with the folks down in Texas, they want a little bit more out of their basketball program now. It is, man. It makes you kind of like you know what I'm saying not. It makes you want to root against everything Texas from here on out, right? You know what I'm saying? When you talk about somebody like Chaka Smart, I get it that in his 6 years, he only hung one NIT banner. I do believe they did win the Big 12. I can't remember how many times they won the Big 12. I want to say twice, but I know they won the Big 12. No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Take that back. I'm talking about the tournament. I thought they won the tournament twice, but I know he won the tournament this year. But it just,
right.
I guess, you know what I'm saying, with the folks. And that's what – like, who's your boss, though? You see what I'm saying? This is where we're getting to the point. Do I report to the athletic director and the president of the university, or do I report to – I'm not saying Jerry Jones, I think, boosters another Texas school. But you see what I'm saying? Do I report to this person over here who throws, you know what I'm saying, hundreds of thousands, maybe $300,000 into the program every year? Who do I report to? Who am I on? Yeah, I get it. We lost to – the Texas lost their first round NCAA tournament game to Texas Abilene, you know what I'm saying? That's like a no-no, right? That's like IU, you know what I'm saying? If we put it in Hoosier term, that's like IU losing to Evansville. Sorry, folks in Evansville, if we lost anybody. that's like IU losing to Evansville, the Purple Aces, in a tournament game, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he was smart to get out. He'll thrive. He thrives in those mid-major types of situations. As we all remember him in the runs that he had at VCU prior to coming to Texas, I expect him. It's not, and here's what I'll say, Brandon. It's not like the cupboard is necessarily bare in Marquette. I think Wojo just had a couple. They were expecting like the Duke. They were expecting that's what they wanted up there in Marquette out of Wojo, and he wasn't able to supply that. It's because, again, sometimes you know what I'm saying, you write checks that your ass can't cash, right?
Right.
So he has some winning seasons, and I think even overall he has a winning record, Wojo did, but, you know what I'm saying, it didn't set rail it didn't sit well with the athletic department. They wanted to go in a different direction, and I think Wojo will fall somewhere on his feet. He's probably back at Duke somewhere as an assistant or something like that. But, like, no, man, Shaka Smart back at, back into a, like a mid-major, like Marquette. I mean, I'm not saying you could put, you know what I'm saying, that, he, that his interest puts anybody in the Big East on notice, but they should be, you know what I'm saying, with him being there, I say even the first year, and definitely his second year, you know what I'm saying, going into it, they'll become a factor, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on Texas? It's a, if Shaka was able to go and they were able to get him out from there, you know, Chris Beard has been rumored to leave now Texas Tech to head towards up to Austin to Texas University or UT.
I would have, right. That's kind of, I mean, that's interesting in the fact that Chris Beard, again, they do have same, some similar, not as big as boosters in Texas, at Texas Tech, what they do in Texas, right? So I would, and in Texas Tech, though, it's not as much pressure. You know what I'm saying? Not as much pressure. Mm-hmm. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not on, on either side, whether it's football or it's pressure, but not as much pressure. That's kind of, Chris Beard has shown that he can coach and recruit and win in the state of Texas at Texas Tech. So what does that look like, you know what I'm saying, for him? You know what I'm saying? You know what would the asking price be, that type of thing? What does that look like for him? What can he, when he got a bigger budget now to go get whomever? You know what I'm saying? Now you become more of an even bigger national recruiter. He has put some guys in the NBA. He has been able to attract elite level talent just to come to Texas Tech. So, but again, man, I he seems like a guy that kind of likes control of his I mean, he likes control of his own destiny. He likes control of his own program. And, like, again, man, you go to Texas, man, you're not in control. You let the billionaires tell you what to do.
Right. Yeah, totally agree with that. All right, let's dive right into the NCAA tournament side of it, John. Final four is set. We've got Baylor against Houston, the one seed versus two seed. Gonzaga, the number one seed overall, versus number 11 seed UCLA. Let's first dive into Monday night's games. Baylor with the big win. Houston with the big win to set up that showdown. Kelvin Sampson back in Indiana, sticking it to him for the final four. Tough matchup against a very fast, athletic Baylor squad.
You're right. I think what we're talking about in the Houston Cougars is we're talking about them. Brandon, when I watch them, I think they're the best defensive team that played in this tournament. I think they're technically the best defensive team next to Gonzaga. I would put them like a 1A, 1B category. Do they have the offense that Baylor has? Do they have the offense that Gonzaga has? I don't think they do, but, like, I think they got the best. I would almost even put UCLA as a 1C. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think all those three of those teams play defense pretty well. You know what I'm saying? And it's coached out, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a team that's playing connected. And they rebound. Like, oh, my God, Kelvin Sampson needs to have a rebounding talk with Miles Turner and Nate Bjorkman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the bigs go rebound, the guards rebound. They don't. I mean, even though that Houston doesn't necessarily shoot it well from outside, and they don't. I think they shot 34% against Oregon State, and I think they shot like 26% against Syracuse. I mean, and we all know Syracuse in that zone, right? But they found ways to win, and they part of that is playing defense, hard defense, right? Regardless of, you know what I'm saying, the matchup. I really think, man, they're playing with a – I mean, your guys – obviously the guys are playing because, dude, you know what I'm saying, how many times does a mid-major, which is what Houston is, how many times do you get this close to a Final Four, to an Elite Eight? I don't know if they had a pretty good run last year as well, but how close are you playing for yourself? But also, man, Brandon, I think he's got him in, like, that bulletin board material saying, hey, man, this is the state that canned me for text messages. Can you believe it? And you know,
yeah.
most guys who are recruited, they're there, like, regardless of what anybody thinks, you ain't there necessarily, you know what I'm saying, you ain't there necessarily to play for Duke if you're playing for at Duke. You're playing for Mike Krzyzewski. You ain't necessarily there playing for Bob Knight. You playing for Bob Knight. You so on and so forth. They're playing for Kelvin Sampson. And Kelvin Sampson, I think he's really wearing his emotions on his sleeve here, man. Like, he got to the Final Four in a place where the state team, quote-unquote, fired him. And, like, I think that makes them I think that makes them real dangerous, man. Even with Baylor does real well, man, when they go small. You know what I mean? They got the guards, Butler Mitchell being the probably the most deadliest. You know what I'm saying? It's Baylor. I told you off camera, man, the only team that could probably keep up with Gonzaga is Baylor. But with this Houston team being, with a little bit of edge, like what they have, I kind of edge Houston over Baylor. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be pins and needles. I really do. It ain't going to be no blowouts or anything like that. Because both these teams can get after it defensively, you know what I mean. If Baylor has to go small, I think that kind of benefits Houston, and that's why it's Houston in that particular matchup.
Wow, interesting. I like Baylor. I'm going to go Baylor. I took Baylor at the beginning of this. Houston, obviously, as you said, they can out rebound like crazy. They were hitting that offensive butt. I mean, the other night. I'm scrambling who the hell they just played the other night.
Who,
Houston.
Baylor?
No, Houston.
They played Oregon State.
Yeah, Oregon State. They got so big on them. But, hell, Oregon State was throwing four guys in there going for the rebound, and Houston was still coming out with it. Houston's got – the way I look at them, they have guys that are all – they have four or five guys that are similar size. Similar skill set, so you can easily just plug and play, put them in, and they're going to play well. The guy, they can shoot the three as well. That's Kelvin Sampson especially right there. It's Houston's looking great. I'm going to go with Baylor, though. I think they finally started getting it rolling the other night. I think Scott Drew's going to get them. I think we're finally going to get the matchup that we did not get during the regular season. It was supposed to be here in Indianapolis between Gonzaga and Baylor. It was canceled 2 hours before it was supposed to start due to a COVID test. I think we're actually going to get that there. So I'm going to favor Baylor on this one. Spread, for those who wanting to know, currently Baylor is -5. So Baylor, a 5-point favorite currently. Sure. On the DraftKings sports book. Looking at the other side, John, Gonzaga just continues to put on a clinic. It felt like they were up 40 last night.
Against
up
a
40,
great USC
you got,
team.
Yeah, against a good USC team. Timmy, he's worked himself into a full-out lottery pick. Yep. Now Jalen Suggs is still tearing it up. Kismer is John. This team is loaded. Mark Few. This is his time. This is his time. The pressure's on Gonzaga. Like, it's not a successful season unless you win the whole thing now for them.
True.
In my feel. I feel. I heard an analogy today. I'm trying to think what it was. They talked about Mark Few and Gonzaga, that this is the one where they have to win. This is their one to win. I forget the damn analogy, though, to use, so it doesn't not serve its purpose right now, but, they are so athletic, and they were,
right,
literally felt like they were up 4. They were up 7-0 quick.
They play late. I was joking with somebody at work today that I think they could beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, or at least hang with them in the half. That's a joke. Nobody, none of these NCAA teams could beat a pro team, but I do think they could probably beat a G League team. I really do. I really think Gonzaga could beat a G League team, and those are professionals as well. Here's what they do well, Brandon. They play off. They're very patient on offense. They're very patient on defense, and in transition, they're very patient. They know what they want to do. That's what I'm trying to say. They might have some lack defensively, but when they're lack defensively, they're up 10. You know what I'm saying? That's when they had their defense lack. But everybody is. It's not just Jalen. We all know Jalen Suggs. If you haven't seen him, man, he kind of reminds you a little bit of a Jason Kidd with a little bit better of a jump shot, right? But they're all five. They have guys that they're willing passers and can pass very well. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, they're playing together without selfishness. So scoring comes and not just from just, it's not just a one trick pony or even two trick ponies. Not just two or three guys here. We got five, maybe sometimes six guys that can put up double digit points and contribute. What I kind of took away from their game against USC is they held USC to 9 assists for the whole night. They, and like I said, they shared the ball. They had 21 assists. Gonzaga had 21 assists. So they can play with just about anybody. I mean, I crept away from that NBA comparison. I do think they could beat a G League team or compete with a G League team. They have that level of talent on that. It is on Mark Few and Gonzaga to lose. I said it three episodes ago, or even when we did the March Madness episode, that with no blue blood coaches, these particular ones in particular, these have always been thorns in Gonzaga's side. Kentucky, no Duke, no Louisville. You know what I'm saying? Whoever was there at Louisville, Tom Ricketino, right? No North Carolina, no Steve, you know what I'm saying? No UCLA. Oh, there's UCLA, right? But this is a little bit different UCLA. I think this Gonzaga team is primed to get to the championship game. I would have been fearful of them. I would have been more fearful if UCLA had lost to Michigan. Michigan had a horrible, play their worst game ever, right, since the Big Ten tournament, I think, and they turned the ball over miserably. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Isaiah Livers would I think we passed that conversation. I mean, Michigan was still good even without Isaiah Livers. But I still think Michigan would have been a better matchup against Gonzaga, right? UCLA plays ugly. They get you to play ugly, but I don't think they got the firepower to turn them over like they turned over Michigan. I don't think they got the firepower to keep up. UCLA does to keep up with Gonzaga. And I think the edge goes. I mean, this has been UCLA has been a great story. I think that, you know what I'm saying, they've been the great story. They had to play the play-in game, right? They had to beat Michigan State to get in to play and keep on winning. And nobody really even had them beat Michigan State. I know I didn't. You know what I'm saying? So. I got Gonzaga. I think it keep it respectable. I don't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, I don't think they blow them out by like how they did USC, but I think they get the dub for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I do like UCLA. Nick Peterson, our college basketball guru, sent me a message earlier today that said, shout out to me, because apparently, and I had to go back and listen, I said either Michigan State or UCLA both could make a run to the Elite Eight and not be surprising to me. So shout out to me for actually, you know, having the thing to think of UCLA, because they actually, here's the thing, John, UCLA, they are without their best two players. If you think about it, they have one that tore an ACL and he was out with a torn ACL early in the season. The other one left and went to the G League. So, mm-hmm. With what's his face, Mr. Ball, went to the G League. Didn't even play with UCLA. Because think about if he was there this year, what that could have meant, you know, with them if he was still there. But this UCLA team, great move by them. Nick Cronin has got these guys playing right. They're fun to watch. Last night's game was pretty incredible when they beat Michigan. John, the play calling for Juwan Howard and them last night was just sketchy. You draw up a play for a guy that's 1 of 9 for the night for a wide open three with Wagner, and he just airballs it completely. Mm. And then they throw up a layup with like 6 seconds to go. And this was the type of game where you definitely could see they were missing Livers out there.
Yeah, but like you can say that, and that's legit. I just say I just think at this particular time, and they had beat so many other teams, they had played so well. But yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of play calling came into question. A lot of, like I said, they turned the ball over miserably, and that's something that they hadn't been doing coming into right. this game. So like I said, UCLA credit to UCLA defense again. I think Houston I just said it since 10 seconds ago. I think Houston plays better. I think Houston is the best defensive team in this tournament. I would put UCLA right behind them.
Yeah. How much credit do you give to Mick Cronin with all this?
I remember us having a show sometime, was it last year when it got named, or even the year? He ain't been there that long. This is the second year, I do believe.
2 years. Yeah, this is 2 years.
Yeah, second year. I was like, man, he's leaving a good situation to try to revitalize a great situation. You know what I'm saying? They count the banners
yeah.
Here in UCLA, just like they count the banners down in Bloomington, and they have twice as many banners in UCLA. And they haven't hung one.
And he doesn't seem like a UCLA guy, you know? When you think of UCLA, you think big timer, slick back hair, like a Steve Lavin, you know, those type as a UCLA guy. Mick Cronin, he belongs at like a freaking Nebraska or like a Midwestern.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, you would think. And he's went out there and he basically just kind of stayed true to himself. He's got, you know what I'm saying, like I said, he's got Mike Lewis and a couple other names out there on his bench, and they know how to coach. They know how to look at talent. They let the guys be individuals, because they're the guys are dancing and whatnot. They're just not clowning. They're not trying to make the other team look bad, but they're celebrating the fact that they won. They trust their team. The guys, I'm trying to think of the guard's name, Bernard. They trust Riley. They trust Singleton and even Juarez Jr. to make plays. You know what I'm saying? They got them committed to, as long as you win, it doesn't matter if you get 17, this guy gets 5. It doesn't matter if this guy over here gets 12. Dude, we're winning. And that's what – I want to listen to Mike Lewis's interview because, I always go back to – Mike Lewis was on interview rounds all last week, right, you know, on whatever show, except for ours. Shame on me for not getting it. But, like, no, Mike Lewis was on the rounds, and he was kind of preaching the fact that we're just trying to win and keep on winning and not worry about individual staffs. And you know what I'm saying? I would imagine they got some guys thinking they could go pro, you know what I'm saying, a second-round pick or even bottom first round or something like that. But they're just here to win, and you know what I'm saying? And that's what they kind of preach. They're just here to win and keep the winning on going. But I think the winning stops when they play Gonzaga.
Okay. All right. Let's see. How much time we got? We got about 12 minutes. Let's dive in real quick in two NFL notes I have, John, as we approach the draft. Last week after our show, the 49ers traded for the number 3 pick with the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins went back to 12. And then the Dolphins traded with the Eagles and went up to number 6. The Eagles then went back to 12. Crazy movement. We got Dolphins are kind of going all in, it seems like.
San Francisco, man, you know what?
Yeah,
you
sorry about that. San Francisco.
You can't tell me San Francisco is not going to pick a quarterback. You can't tell me. Even though they have Jimmy G, and we know the pedigree Jimmy G had coming out of New England and actually going to the Super Bowl, right, coming up short in the Super Bowl, you can't tell me that you don't move up. You don't move that kind of draft capital to get a wideout, and there's some good wideouts in this draft, or even get Pitts from Florida. You don't move up to get him when you could have got him at the position that they already at. So they moved up to get a quarterback, regardless of what. But here's the thing, man. So there's a lot of speculation. There's still a lot of questions on who they might pick. If anybody kind of caught his take, Justin Fields' take, where he was, you know what I'm saying, he had the blazing time in the 40, I sarcastically said, well, that's great that he ran that. I think he ran like a 44 seconds in a 40 or something like that, right? I don't have the numbers in front of me. Whatever, it was blazing. Whatever, it was like faster than my guy. It was faster than some wideouts, faster than some Saquon Barkley's time at during his pro day, or you know what I'm saying, right? But you know, so Justin Fields is playing quarterback. He's not playing wideout. He's not playing running back, right? Justin Fields is probably the best athletic quarterback we have in this draft. Some scouts don't trust his accuracy. They say it's worse than Lamar's, and I'm critical of Lamar because he seemingly can't play a game without throwing an interception, even though he's MB caliber and all that.
Right.
What's kind of weird is, like, what was reported is, like, San Francisco moved all the way up to get Mark Jones. Well, here's what's crazy. Or Mac Jones, Mark Jones, somebody else. Mac Jones. Here's what's crazy, man. Mac Jones had his pro day, and it wasn't a good pro day. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of shaking their heads. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people was like, well, yeah, what in the heck is that? You know what I'm saying? A lot of overthrows. You know what I'm saying? Most notably Bill Belichick. Bill, you know, because Mac Jones has been reported to go anywhere between 5 to, like, 19. And I think, you know what I'm saying, he's kind of a in-the-pocket guy. Regardless of what anybody says, you still need I don't believe that, Brandon. I still think you need in-the-pocket quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? I know you need some of the guys with a little bit of wheels, whatever. We definitely need somebody. You definitely need a quarterback with better wheels than Phillip Rivers. Anybody remembers? Any Colts fans remember Phillip Rivers? But again, Phillip Rivers is, you know what I'm saying, on the wrong side of 39. So that's why his wheels wasn't, you know what I'm saying, that spry. But you still need – but he's great. But during his time, he's great, in, you know, saying, in the pocket quarterback, right? We remember all those years out of San Diego and L.A. How could you not like at least Mac Jones in the teams? You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They got Alabama just beat everybody, regardless of, you know what I'm saying, I get it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the wideouts, you know what I'm saying, are part of that beatdown. But he was the one throwing to them. They didn't throw to themselves. But – I don't think you move up all that draft capital, and I don't think San Francisco did their scouting properly. So there's still a whole lot of questions, because the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, and we all know Trevor Lawrence is going. We knew Trevor Lawrence was going number one. Hi, puppy. We all know Trevor Lawrence is going number one. We knew that the day he beat Alabama, you know what I'm saying, in the national championship game two years ago. So. Going to be real interesting to kind of see how it plays out. The draft is in, I do believe, in like, what, 3 weeks?
I think
it's in the middle part of April or so. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what San Francisco does. I just don't think – I mean, they might – at this point, if they didn't like what they saw in Jones' pro day, they could take a tight end. But, my goodness, man, you moved all the way up to get a tight end when you could have still got a tight end or wide out. Or even one off the show. I'm not saying – I think the kid is going to be special, the kid from Florida. I know you like him a lot. But, again, I don't think
he's Kyle Trask.
I don't think he's the third best. You know what I'm saying? You could take one of the wilds three, but then you're going to have to really explain why you took that guy at three when you could have got him. You could have made a trade with somebody else at five or six and not gave up all that capital.
Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely. Okay, let's see what we got. NFL, they decided to add a 17th game now, John. So we've got 17, the players are pissed off. And it just so happens that the Colts, they match it up by division finishes, and then against their division. So the NFC South will play the AFC South. And lo and behold, you get Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to Indianapolis this year.
Yeah, we knew the 17 game was coming. I don't, Brandon, it seemed like, man, they need to do due diligence, man, just make another team somewhere, either somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere in St. Louis. I mean, that would be the Midwest. Just make another team. And just, I don't know, the NFL – if it ain't broke, you know what I'm saying, don't fix it. But they don't go by that. That motto at all, man. At some point, whenever we get teleportation, or at some point, whenever we get jets that can fly faster than, you know, I know we got jets faster than speed of sound, but at some point they're going to try to put a freaking franchise over in England, which is another, you know what I'm saying, thing they've had on the burner for quite some time. 17 games, it kind of watered down the product a little bit, man. As much as the NFL prides itself on not being the NBA, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying NBA games, the 82-game regular season is overblown, but in this day and age, we have guys that will only play half, they only want to play like half that and still want to go to a chance, still want to start, you know what I'm saying, in the playoffs in order, you know what I'm saying? I just don't know, man. You're not going to get the best product. Any NFL games at 17, it's an odd number, right? So, I have to look that up. I don't know how that works. If somebody, you know what I'm saying, if the numbers don't, you know what I mean, somebody's tied, you know what I mean? I we've had ties before, but so that goes to, you know, to who you beat, and if strength, you know what I'm saying, who'd you beat during that tie. But it's just weird, man, and like the those undefeated seasons where, yeah, you know what I'm saying, 16, that doesn't really matter anymore. It's not going to matter because, like, it's going to matter is if I can get – so let's say next year the Tampa Bay Toms and Buccaneers are 14-0 with three games left. Why would they want Tom Brady to go out there for the next three games? Everything's sold up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Playoff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That sudden death type of situation where every game matters, it doesn't really matter anymore. The more and more games you add onto an NFL schedule, that's kind of how I haven't even commented on the health risk factors. You know what I'm saying? How they always want – we're always concerned about concussions and players' ACL injuries and stuff like that, man. We're adding a whole nother game. You know what I'm saying? So a whole other real game, not a preseason game. You know what I mean? But I just think it kind of waters down the product.
But I'm upset because the Super Bowl now is a week later, which means the Super Bowl is not usually the same weekend now as my birthday. So now there's no football on my birthday. So thanks, NFL. Appreciate that.
Maybe.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Let's see. What else? I don't have anything NFL related. Let's see. We're going to do a quick ad read, John. Two quick ad reads. When we come back, we'll just kind of shoot the shot until our guest, Connor Brownfield, joins us here. So stay tuned with us. We'll be back here momentarily.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right. Also, we want to give a shout-out to our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks. They offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out at MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. They can do custom rims, custom LED lighting, you name it, they can probably do it. Free shipping. Excuse me. No, not free shipping. Shipping worldwide. Let me get that right before I get in trouble there. Shipping worldwide. They do pickups. They do deliveries. John was telling us about they had a big old trailer and they were traveling the entire state of Florida. So if you're in Florida, if you're in Georgia, if you're in Indiana, hell, they might even deliver up here in Indiana if you're special and you buy enough from them. So check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com, for more details. So thank you to them and Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. Okay. John, what I want to talk.
Well,
NBA.
I want to chime in, man. Before Connor calls in, I didn't know that Indiana had an ABA affiliated team, and because you know, what I'm saying this is more
they
spoiler,
got three,
y'all. Right? They have three. Connor Brownfield is actually a friend of the program, of Troy Brownfield, who came on the show many moons ago. And kind of blessed us with some pop culture knowledge. Anybody remembers that particular episode? But yeah, Connor Brownfield's going to come on the show and talk. He's actually the announcer, ring announcer. I keep on saying that he's actually the arena announcer arena announcer for the ABA affiliate here in Indiana, the Indiana Lions. And he's a high school kid, he's a sophomore. And we're gonna learn a whole little bit. That's my own personal.
Oh boy,
we're gonna learn a whole little bit about his journey, in that particular role, and we're gonna learn a whole little bit about the Indiana Lions in general, man. Because again, man, I thought the ABA once it got bought out, you know what I'm saying, many moons ago, that the only thing that kind of was left around was the red and white blue basketball that the NBA kind of uses during the All-Star break. But this particular brand of ABA is obviously not affiliated with the NBA anymore. But, you know what I'm saying, with this being Indiana And, you know, saying we all know we're all basketball crazy and basketball hot and heavy here. There's no way I wouldn't want to learn or have the folks here learn about what the ABA has in store. So, with that being said, if he's ready to go, man, I say bring him on into the fold.
Perfect. I'll bring him on. All right. Now joining the program, as John says the arena, but I'm going to dress it up a little bit. The public address announcer for the Indiana Lions, the ABA team, Connor Brownfield, friend of the program. His dad's a friend of the program. We've had him on in the past. Now we have Connor. Connor, how are we?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, like I said, Connor, welcome to the show. It's going to be an honor to have you on. Hopefully, you know, so we're going to learn a little bit about your experience as the announcer and as the ABA. Your experience with the ABA in general, man. So, Connor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. How did you get this opportunity to be the announcer?
Sure, I was actually taking the Introduction to Communications class at my high school, Avon High School, where I was learning some about media filming. I worked on a podcast there. And the owner / head coach of the Indiana Lions, Tyrone Brown, reached out to my Introduction to Communications teacher, saying that he was looking for some students who would be interested in helping with their announcing, statistics keeping, commentary, that sort of thing. And I was one of the students who said that they would be interesting in working with the Lions. So the Lions had me come out to some of their preseason games. I watched, got a feel for their equipment, the kind of jobs that their announcer would typically do, and I took over for the position starting with their first regular season game, and I have served it since.
Okay. Did you have any prior experience, you know what I'm saying, running scoreboard or doing statistics before joining the Indy Lions?
I had some experience in the statistics field. My brother plays basketball. He has for several years, and I frequently ran the statistics, both the electronic scoreboard and the individual team book statistics, for several of his teams. As for the announcing portion, I had a little experience in public speaking and in radio format, both from my Introduction to Communications class that I mentioned earlier, and the fact that I am a member of the Avon High School Speech and Debate team. So I got some public speaking experience, some radio experience, but not on the scale that the ABA was.
Okay. So I'm glad you asked that, man. So we talk about scale, man. Did it ever become, like, overwhelming, or did you ever get nervous having to do, you know what I'm saying, something that's brand new, like announcing?
Of course. I got very nervous, pretty overwhelmed, before my first couple games announcing, because I'd never done something like that in front of such a crowd before. I'd never done it in front of a large group of people. So it was a very daunting thing to try out something that I did not have necessarily as much experience with, although I did have a little practice in front of this many people. So it was very nerve-wracking, very overwhelming at first, but after the first couple of games, I got more comfortable with it, and there was a lot of support from the Lions, and I was able to get rid of some of that sense of nervousness or overwhelmedness.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What's it like being that close to the action versus a spectator from announcing? What's it like that being that close?
Sure, it's very intense. There's a lot more energy when you're up close, when you're calling the game. I'm saying who scored, who committed the foul, that kind of thing. I'm feeding off the energy that the players are exhibiting as they play the game, and I'm feeding off the energy of the crowd. If the crowd gets super excited about one of the Lions making a three or slamming the ball home, I pour more energy into my voice, into my announcing, into my performance. It's very energetic, very involved when I'm up that close and personal as opposed to spectating. I get to feed off what's going on in the game in a way that I never would sitting just in the stands.
Okay. Did you ever get caught up in the intensity of a game? Like, you get something to say or anything like that?
Definitely. On a couple occasions that I can think of. Two, specifically. The first was in the Lions sectional tournament that they recently competed in. Because, in fact, the Lions were down by 11 points with a minute and 34 seconds left to go in the game. But then the Lions suddenly staged a comeback. They started stealing the ball and scoring basket after basket. And they ultimately took the game to overtime and won in overtime. And this was the time that I got caught up in the intensity of the moment, because there was such a sudden turnaround, so much excitement when the Lions start scoring all these baskets. And you get caught up in what's going on. And I occasionally forgot that there were supposed to be things I was supposed to be announcing during these plays because I was so invested in what was going on right in front of me. So I definitely got caught up there because it was such an exciting and surprising moment that there was so much to be caught up in. And it was honestly a little distracting from what I was supposed to be doing. And the other main incident where I got caught up, and it maybe switched the focus away from some of my announcing, was the Lions had a massive brawl at one of their games this season, which was started during an altercation. The altercation was started during a game with the St. Louis Spirits, during which, after a defensive foul, one of the Spirits players struck a Lions player, and that started a big fight where the benches were cleared and the police ended up coming out. Everything was ultimately resolved in an orderly and peaceful fashion, but that was one of those times where I got caught up in what was happening, because in that scenario, since I am the person with the mic, I had to suddenly use newfound authority that I never had before. I'm the one who's supposed to be telling the players to return to the benches, return to the locker room, break up the fight, etc. And that was something that you kind of just swept up in, because when I was started announcing these basketball games, that was something I never expected to have to do. So that's one of those times I got caught up, because it was a new responsibility, new experience, and it's something I had to adapt to very quickly. So those are the main incidents I can think of.
It's like the Malice in the Palace.
Almost. What's the team atmosphere kind of like? You know what I'm saying? I know with you being a youngster, right? I kind of prefaced before you kind of came on. I told everybody you're sophomore at Avon High, right? So what's the atmosphere kind of like for you being around the team?
The atmosphere's very personal, very friendly with the Lions team, both the players and the Lions staff. At games, the players are always willing to sign autographs. They're always giving out T-shirts. They're always going into the stands to high-five fans. It's a very friendly and personal atmosphere. All the staff is also very outgoing. I've had good conversations with all of my coworkers, both at the stats table and the coaches and owners of the Lions. There's a very familiar, they call it a family atmosphere, and that's not very far off. You can tell that everyone there is genuinely interested in the game and the people who enjoy the game just as much as they do. So there's a very friendly, very personable atmosphere at all of these ABA Indiana Lions functions.
Okay. I don't know if you got one, Brandon. I got one more before I turn it over to you. What are some of the differences between the ABA rules versus the NBA rules of playing basketball?
Sure. There's a lot of rules that are similar, and most of them are. However, there are a few notable exceptions. The first one that springs to mind is the 3D rule, a rule where if one team steals the ball in the backcourt, then any points they score on the next drive, based on that steal, is worth one more point. For instance, if they stole the ball in the backcourt and then shot a three and made it, it's worth 4 points. If they stole the ball in the backcourt and made it two, it's worth three. However, if they steal the ball in the backcourt and then lose control of it, then the 3D rule becomes no longer in effect. But that's an interesting spin-on rule that you don't have in the NBA. There's no opportunity to get 4 points with a single shot in the NBA compared to the ABA.
I like it. It kind of like reminds me of like a rocket.
Yeah, it's a it's a very interesting rule. And another one is when it comes to fouls, because as we all know in the NBA, when a person gets 6 fouls, they foul out. However, this is not the case in the ABA. Assuming that you have no technical fouls up to this point, you are allowed 6 fouls, and then your 7th would be a technical foul, and so would your 8th. And if you don't have any technical fouls up to this point, then your 2nd technical foul, being your 8th foul overall, would be the foul on which you foul on because you're foul out after 2 techs. So, in essence, in the ABA, you're allowed personal fouls, whereas you're only allowed 6 in the NBA. So it's a little more lenient.
Okay. Perfect. Connor, what are, obviously, since you've started doing this now, is this something as well that you kind of like, do you have any goals or like you want to move up, like to move up to the college level or even go to the professionals? Kind of what's your goals or your aspirations? Is there any additional ones you have after doing this already?
Sure. I was already offered the opportunity to come back and continue to announce for the Lions in the future starting next season, and I agreed to it. I would be interested in potentially pursuing something like this in another atmosphere, whether I did it for a team when I go to college. One of my primary career objectives has been to become a journalist, and this is another avenue of media where I get to do things hand-in-hand with that. So although I would still like to pursue my ideals of writing, being a journalist, this is something that I would be interested in working more with in the future.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
What do you got, John?
Connor, how were you able to balance this newfound job or internship with your regular school life?
That's a great question. It was sometimes very difficult. For instance, most of the ABA games occur on Saturdays and Sundays because as it has a smaller budget and pay grade than the NBA, many ABA players have regular day jobs. So they cannot play during weekdays most of the time. So therefore, most of the games are held on Saturdays and Sundays. This means that a lot of the games did not interfere with my typical school day. However, they did sometimes conflict with extracurricular activities I had for the school, such as my speech and debate competitions, which typically ran for hours on Saturdays. So occasionally I would have days where I was at a speech competition from 7:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, and then I would have to race to a Lions game from 5 to 8. So it made for some very very busy days, some very fast-paced days, and some occasional stressful moments, but ultimately I was able to work everything out, and I don't think I ever had an incident where any activity prohibited me from doing another.
Okay. Who was helpful or supportive with you during this process? I know you kind of called 12 games, regular season games. That's pretty dope in itself, man. But so who did you get any help? You know what I'm saying? Obviously for family or anybody else?
Sure. Obviously, my biggest supporters throughout were my parents, who were there for me the entire way. Were very supportive, very helpful, especially in the fact that my father had done something similar with working at a radio station in the past, and he had some of that announcing experience. So he was able to give me some tips, some pointers, and my parents were very supportive throughout. Also, very helpful and supportive were the Indiana Lions organization in general, of course, but specifically the owner and head coach of the Indiana Lions, Tyrone Brown, who initially recruited me. So first off, he gave me the opportunity that I've had, and he also was very supportive throughout. He always told me that it never mattered if I made a mistake because it was for development, and just like me, the program was developing in their skills, and that we were there to help each other. He supported me throughout, he was always very jovial.
Okay.
Sometimes constructive criticism, but never critiques. And the final people who were very helpful were the other people at my statistics scorekeeping announcing table, specifically the person who kept the electronic scoreboard and the person who kept the player book, because they had been with the Lions longer than I had, of course, and they were able to give me some advice on things to say in unexpected situations, such as the aforementioned fight, some of the situations where you don't know what to expect, and they were able to help guide me through that.
Okay, okay. Well, Connor, I'm glad you got the gig for a second run going into next season. I was telling Brandon, I'm going to reach out to Indy Lions ownership. So, you know what I'm saying? We are media guys ourselves, man. We're going to try to come to some of the games, man, and hopefully we can get a picture. And we're going to cover the game, too, but hopefully we can get a picture and all that. You know what I'm saying? And we can actually meet face-to-face, man. But before we let you go, man, Brandon, I don't know how good your – when's the last time you ever played tennis, Brandon, or have you ever played tennis? Because this guy plays tennis.
I think I would have to say it was probably about 18 years ago when I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And it was PE class. I would probably say that was the last time.
Okay. So I'm gonna pick on Connor, man. Who's your favorite tennis player, and how would you grade your particular backhand?
My favorite tennis player currently is Rafael Nadal, and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, on my current backhand, probably rank it as, on a grand scale, I'd probably go either a 5 or a 6 when you're comparing in the grand scheme of things.
Okay. Well, Connor Brownfield, don't you ever, dude, anytime you want to come on here and talk a little ABA basketball, man, just let me know and we'll get you on for sure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care, Connor. All right, John, it's Connor Brownfield. ABA, the Indiana Lions, they did finish 14-4 this regular season. I know they're ranked 12th out of the 75 teams in this whole league or so. They are the ABA North or Central Region champs. They've won their first two playoff games in history this past year. And then April 15th through the 18th, they are in the final eight tourney that will be played in St. Louis. So they're going to go for the championship then. So shout out to them, and we'll keep following them along.
Check
them out on their website.
Brandon Reeve, you got to get a betting line on like how they play basketball, man. They got to. I think that the way they score is kind of crazy.
Dude, that's nuts. The if you steal it in the backcourt, a 2-pointer becomes a 3, and a 3 becomes a 4. I'd be pulling Steph Curry range the whole time. You know,
right.
Free throws are live off the rim. Like that's a FIBA rule there. I kind of like that. The fact that you only get 7 seconds to cross half court instead of the 8 you have in NBA and the 10 you have in college and high school, and the fact that you can't foul out, that's nuts to me. But it goes like to a technical foul shot besides the 2. That's awesome. So, yeah, ABA, definitely going to check that out. When you told me ABA first, I started thinking I went back and started thinking of, like, Dr. J with the big afro and with the red, white, and blue basketball sitting there just kind of spinning it around.
Yeah, they play with the same, like I said, they play with the same red, white, and blue basketball. The association, the NBA bought the ABA a thousand years ago, and they kind of absorbed it, almost wiped it out, if you think about it, the history of it, you know what I'm saying? I don't think, because a lot of times they don't include some of those championships. As they don't recognize some of those ABA championships when they talk about, like, Dr. J. We talk about Dr. J, they only say that he won in 83 with Philadelphia when he has the 2 more other championships that he won with the Nets when they were ABA affiliated teams. So, no, man, ABA, good stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. John, I want to shift gears over to MLB. Major League Baseball opening day starts tomorrow. Yes, it's going to be opening day and in Chicago. At Wrigley Field, it's going to be a balmy 37 degrees with the wind blowing in.
Yep.
Hold on 1 second, Porsche.
Gotcha.
Sorry, Brandon. I had a random email from work I had to respond to ASAP. Looking at MLB, John, I put together some of the things. Went out and got my preview guide. It was looking. World Series winners, DraftKings, all these DraftKings odds. I want to get our sports bettors in a little bit. Dodgers right now are obviously the defending champions. They're the overwhelming favorites right now at plus 350. Yankees are second at plus 530. Then you've got the Padres at plus 800, the White Sox at plus 850, the Braves at plus 1,000, and then the Mets also at plus 1,000. Locally around this area, the Reds are plus 3,300 and the Cubs are plus 4,000. So it's like a $100 bet would net you 400 for that on the Cubs. So really your Dodgers and your Padres are your Dodgers, Yankees are your top two favorites there. John, looking at division winners, really, a couple of them that I like this year to win the division, if you want to put some money on as a future bet, the Braves are plus 120. I think the Atlanta Braves became one. I think they were one out away or one inning away from making it to the World Series last year against the Dodgers. The Braves have a great, great baseball team. Freddie Freeman, the NL MVP from last year, that young pitching core for Atlanta. I like them. I think they could easily win the NL East. I also like the Mets. Mets at plus 140. They added Francisco Lindor to the program, even though he just turned down a huge monster contract extension from them. So not sure what's going to happen, but they still have that young pitching core, or that pitching core there in New York as well. And then they still have Pete Alonso there as their big star player. So I like them. Padres are another one of my teams, John, I like. They're plus 200 to win the NL West. I think the Dodgers are going to end up taking it themselves. Dodgers, obviously, they added Mookie Betts last year, and now they also added Trevor Bauer, the former Cy Young winner from the Cincinnati Reds. He's out there now in Los Angeles, so the rich get richer out there. So that'll be interesting to see. In the NL Central here in the Midwest, I think the Cardinals are going to win the Central this year. They also added Nolan Arenado from Colorado. I actually have him, John. I think Arenado is going to win the NL MVP award this year. I think he has a great season in St. Louis with the players around there. I think they win the division. I think he's the MVP of the season this year. You can get great odds right now on him to win that at plus 800. Mookie Betts and Juan Soto right now are the top two guys for there. My Reds are going to suck this year, so it's going to be – it's weird. The Reds bought in, but then they kind of like sold in the offseason as well. So, and I know we talked to JMV. He said, it'll just be another one of those seasons. So I think there's going to be a digress this year with my Reds.
Well, at least, Brandon, this is what you know can be happy about. The Reds will be better than the Chicago Cubs. I think we can both agree on that, man. Chicago Cubs fans that I know before, you know what I'm saying, like I said, tomorrow's opening season, man, they were complaining about how sucky they were going to be back in January. What's leadership look like now in Chicago? What direction, you know what I'm saying, is how far are they removed away from that World Series as far as like talent level? Like, is that pool of talent has gotten older and they didn't revitalize themselves? So I don't know, man. Like I said, man, dark days are coming in Chicago. But like I think the Reds, from what I know, I think there's probably a little bit of rail hope. I don't know playoff rail hope, but I do know they'll finish better than Chicago.
Yeah. Sorry, was answering another email. Let's switch over to the NBA, John, real quick. We'll finish up this evening. I've got the super teams, John. Like people, if you didn't get traded at the trade deadline, you got Victor Oladipo going to Miami. You've got and then he's conveniently has a head cold and can't play tonight. Get the hell out of here. He didn't want to face the music here in Indianapolis. That's a scumbag move. So so I'm going to put it at that point.
Well, what's,
some
what's
other people
the music, Brandon?
Use a different word for it.
What's the music to be played, Brandon? What's the music? Him facing the limited, you know what I'm saying, him facing the Pacers, or the Pacers actually need to win? The Pacers need a win, you know what I'm saying? Coming out the last time out, basically getting out rebounded by Westbrook against Washington, a team that's headed into lottery land again without Bradley Beal. I get it, you know what I'm saying? I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? I think Lamb, took a late injury in the game or whatever. But just if anybody else, I want to be critical of the coaching, what's going on. I want to be critical of some of the plays that they have out there on the floor. Outside of Sabonis, man, what is really the shining bright point of this particular Pacers team? They are ninth still, and then, you know, with the new rules, playoff rules, and so long as they kind of coast right now, they'll still get a chance to have a say as far as the playoff race is concerned. But like part of basketball is being able to, you know what I'm saying, collectively rebound the basketball. And for so much of Miles Turner, I know we love him, I know we hate him, so, you know what I'm saying, and he's like a seesaw because what he can do defensively as far as like blocking shots. But at 6 foot ten and a half, or 6 foot 11 that he is, 5 rebounds per game, he can take Defensive Player of the Year out of his mouth from forever. Stop saying that you want to be campaigning. He hasn't really said it in like the last 2 weeks or so, but he can take that Defensive Player of the Year stuff out of his mouth, man. It's one thing to be kind of be considered to be a third banana on the team offensively. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of what he is on this particular team. Mm-hmm. On a championship team, I don't know if he's – you can't depend upon him to get 15 points. You can't. He has a heater on some nights where he'll get you 17. He might even get you 20. But most nights, man, it's a struggle. 3 for 8, 3 for 7s. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't from three-point range. You know what I'm saying? That's from the field. I don't get it. I'm not necessarily – again, I keep on saying I'm not necessarily ready to sell. Well, I wasn't during trade. I wasn't, and I'm saying that. I mean, there wasn't necessarily anything that you're going to get back as fair market value in trade. You know what I'm saying? With a playoff team, that's what Miles Turner would have went to, and back in trade, as you can see, man, the Boston Celtics trade didn't. I don't think that bode well. I mean, that's a side conversation. It would be a next conversation if you want to. But I don't necessarily think that 48 trade is going to bear fruit for him. So trade Miles Turner. In this particular, we was been traded to be traded. So why Kevin Pritchard ain't that dumb to trade Miles Turner? He knew he can trade. Don't trade him now. You know what I'm saying? So, but at some point they need to address the fact that they can't rebound. Outside of Sabonis, man, he's primary scorer, primary rebounder, and he's probably second on assists. For this particular team, so you got to work horseman type, you know what I'm saying, effort out of him. But the power forward on this particular team, and even some of the small forwards, man, they forget that in order to have possession of the ball, you got to go get the ball and don't depend upon Sabonis to be the main guy getting it. So we know this is the new NBA where guards are asked to do more rebounding, and other wing players have to do more rebounding, but I don't think that's filtered down from the coach. That's not what's happening, you know. And as a Pacers fan, that's very frustrating because again, you can make all the excuses in the world. Whether T.J. Warren is out there or not, and we know he ain't coming back. They still have enough talent out there. Even with LeVert, I think he had a bad shoot night. The last two games they had, they still have problems, you know what I'm saying, rebounding. They still have problems turning over the ball late in the game. So, again, there's a lot of things, questions that arise, man, from a coach standpoint and what's on the court for me and the Pacers.
Amen. I don't think I could add anything extra there that's not already been said. Like I said, we didn't make a move, and go figure, it doesn't surprise me. And this team's got, like I told you, it was embarrassing the fact that we lost to the Wizards. It's embarrassing that we had Russell Westbrook just completely go off with 32 points, 20-some assists, and like 13 or 14 rebounds against us without no Bradley Beal. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of, you know, the Pacers right now. I think they were tied and have the lead right now against the Miami Heat at Bankers Life. It feels good. I can actually watch the game on TV here and not have to find a broken stream from somewhere to watch it. So, felt good there. John, I have a problem. These super teams, man. You're a free agent. You got LaMarcus Aldridge. He signs with the Nets. Blake Griffin signs with the Nets. Andre Drummond signs with the Lakers. Boogie Cousins signs with the Clippers. Like, what? It's not even fun. It's people just, they get buyouts and then they go where the hell they want. And I don't know how these teams have the money to sign these guys. I really don't.
Let's go work backwards. DeMarcus Cousins is a wash. He's washed out. That's what it is. He's washed out. So the other than that being a name that we used to probably boo, me personally, when he was at Kentucky, other being, and then you can remember some of those games that he put up, double-doubles, great double-doubles in scoring and rebounding when he played for Sacramento. He didn't do himself no favors by walking away from a $110 million contract that Sacramento offered him to go play the Golden State, go play, join forces with the Golden State Warriors for that 1 year. And then that's when everything kind of tumbled for him. He got injured, and he hasn't been the same since. Has not. Houston gave up on him, the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't win with the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? You can't win with anybody, you know? That's a wash. He's washed. He's just a big man. He's just a big man that eventually outwears his welcome or can't play because he's limited in what he can do in this new in a faster paced NBA. Okay, it is a little disheartening when you see players like LaMarcus Aldridge and players like Blake Griffin, and both of those guys are technically on the back nine of their careers, but they didn't necessarily give full-fledged effort with the teams that they were with prior to joining the Nets. So that's what kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't necessarily believe in the term super teams. People can be – I got into a debate with Reggie about who started this super team phenomenon, quote-unquote. I think the term was media-generated, but it's really – he has a whole bunch of other folks that kind of listen to the show or kind of follow sports. I think LeBron James started it when – he chose to go take his talents to Miami. That was just a player taking the power in his own hands and not letting the front office. And let's be honest, man, the front office did have something. Pat Riley recruited LeBron. He already had Dwayne Wade. He recruited LeBron,
right.
and he ultimately utilized Chris. He utilized Dwayne Wade to get Chris Bosh and to cement LeBron. So front offices still kind of run the show. I'll take a little bit down history lesson, man, here, man. So when you find out that the Portland Trailblazers in 2000 had Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith, Sabonis, Brian Grant, whoever, Rasheed Wallace, I think Bonzi Wells was on the team. He was, you know what I'm saying, a little bit younger, but he wasn't necessarily a rookie. I'm trying to think who else, Jimmy Jackson. That sounds like a super team to me. In 2000, that lost to the Lakers. I mean, they made it to the Western Conference Championship, but that's definitely a super team with all that talent on there. You know what I mean? When you think about, and then I can say, when I think about the history of the NBA and like how teams are built, what Red Auerbach did in the past, and how he traded for Joe Barry Carroll to the Warriors for Kevin McHale's draft pick. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Yeah, that's what he did. He traded Joe Barry Carroll. He was just savvy. He traded the rights to Joe Barry Carroll. I know who's Joe Barry Carroll. He's a longtime Purdue alumni. You know what I'm saying? Purdue grad.
Right.
They traded him to Golden State for Robert Parrish and the draft rights to Kevin McHale. Uh-oh, bam. Next thing you know, you have Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, and there you go. Dynasty kind of set in place. Same thing kind of happened with the Lakers, man. Somehow, they already had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Somehow, some way, they got Magic Johnson. They got the number one overall draft pick in Magic Johnson. And a year later, they trade away somebody that nobody even remembers, and they get James Worthy, a rookie, in the draft lottery. So it all kind of depends how savvy your front office is. I get it. You know what I'm saying? This sports market is more in tune. We know more a little bit about, you know, some guys want to team up with their super friends or they want an easy route. to get to the finals. It does leave a bad taste. It takes away some of the competition. Like I said, my guy left the Clippers to max out in Detroit, and you never seen Blake Griffin max out ever in a Detroit uniform. You never saw, anything to resemble. And I know he was hurt. He got hurt or whatever, but we never seen I can probably count the many times we have Duncan highlights with Blake Griffin in a Detroit uniform. I can count how many dunks I've seen Blake Griffin do in the last 2 weeks on two hands. Now, you know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden you get your buddies back. Now all of a sudden you get your game back, you know? So in that regard, it's a little weird. Well, it's not weird. It's just a little disheartening. Again, my particular point, my particular feelings about it, the Brooklyn Nets, and I said this before, I argued with another friend of the program online, Skip Mills, about it. If he's listening, I hope Skip is listening. They had the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant is not 100%. If he was, they wouldn't have gotten Blake Griffin. Again, Blake Griffin ain't the greatest defensive player. They are concerned. I'm not gonna say worried. They are concerned about the matchup that potentially will happen between them and Giannis, or them and Joel Embiid. Once those guys come into, once the playoffs kind of start, if you have. And I'm saying Kevin Durant is a great player, but he cannot guard. You cannot expect him to be guarding Joel Embiid. You cannot expect him to guard in a seven game series, Giannis at all. And I get it. People can say that the Bucks, you know what I'm saying, I got to see it to believe it or whatever. But they are playing better, even though they lost. They won eight in a row, and then they lost two in a strange fashion. But again, they are playing different. They are playing a little bit better now. If I do remember, not to take too much of your time, too much of the call, right? I do remember the last time when the Nets did play Milwaukee. It took, and this is when Kevin Durant was out there playing. It took him max effort, and I think he played like 40 some minutes, I do believe, and he had to hit a special three to beat the Bucks back then. So again, man, you can't. The stat lines in Atlanta, when they traded away Jared Allen, they traded away their best post defender. Or however you feel about DeAndre Jordan or not in this particular time in his career, they traded Jared Allen, and they probably should have not traded him, right?
Right.
But they need fouls. Basically, I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is not necessarily. He even said it on somebody's show. He said he's not here to be an All Star. Well, damn, man, we knew that. You didn't show All Star form when you was with the Spurs. So you was here to be in a reserve role and maybe hit some clutch shots and take some fouls or whatever. So, again, man, that's what it's for. But I'm saying this. If Kevin Durant ain't even 85%, by the time they play the Milwaukee Bucks, or by the time they play the Philadelphia 76ers, it ain't going to matter, because as much as we can all, laud the stats that Harden is putting up and the stats that Kyrie's putting up when he's playing, all those guys kind of usually wilt somewhere in late April and May because they're jump shooters, and in a seven game series you can kind of negate some of that quote unquote specialness that they do. If Kevin Durant don't play, the Nets ain't gonna win.
Boom. Amen to that. I read an article today. I was listening to the JJ Redick podcast. Shout out our boy, our Duke boy, J.J. Redick. I got his jersey hanging right here in my closet. J.J. Redick called out the Pelicans' brass. He got traded last week to the Mavs, but he called out their brass. He called them dishonest. He requested a trade way back in November. And the fact that those guys are just a bunch of complete liars down there. So I was shocked when he was talking about it to the Honest Podcast.
Yeah, the flip side of that, man, like his NBA brethren have no sympathy for him, man. So it's Robert Horry and what's my guy's name? He's playing for the Nets himself. Anyway, they had no love for him. Said, man, dude, unless you're a shot caller, an MVP, an All Star, or somebody that won a playoff series, somebody that won a playoff series for our team. It's business, and they had to make the Pelicans had to make the proper business decision for them, the proper decision for them was not releasing him. Somebody in J.J. Redick's
– Hold on, John. Now he's been a winner.
He's been to the NBA Finals with the Magic.
That the Pelicans?
No, it was the Magic.
That,
but he was a prime
player then. Yeah, I'm saying, though, so I'm like, unless you do something special for an organization, like, the, you know what I'm saying, you really have no say. Again, he should have known that his time was going to be short when he started getting DMPs, coach's decision, from with Stan Van Gundy. He didn't necessarily fit in this youth movement. It was weird for him to go over there anyway. You know what I'm saying? I think he kind of went there for the money. Remember the Pacers was in talks to try to get him in. You know what I'm saying?
I was so ready to buy the jersey. I was so ready.
Well, buy you the Dallas Mavericks jersey version of J.J. Redick.
Yeah, I'm about to. The fact it's it's the blue and white. So, John, real quick, we got a few minutes left. Switch gears. Walking Dead. Have you caught the last episode?
I have not. So don't spoil it for
okay.
me, man.
No spoilers.
I know it's a slower one. I do know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't spoil it.
I'm two up on you then.
Okay, you got me.
So yeah, I'm two up on you. I won't spoil anything for there. It is slow. This is the first one though. So just be prepared. Okay. So, what else do I have? This weekend we have the national championship on Monday. We've got the semifinals on Saturday. In between is stuck on Sunday. We have Easter. So happy Easter to everybody out there this coming week. John, I am getting my vaccine tomorrow. So I am going to get mine done tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to that. Have you gotten yours yet?
Oh, man, no. You're asking political questions now, man.
Calling them out. You don't want no microchip on him.
Something like that, man, sure. We can talk about that on off air, though. But no, I haven't got mine yet.
What else do I have on my list here?
The Masters is in like 2 weeks.
Masters is in 2 weeks, yes. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, Masters starts it starts next week. Next week, Masters starts. Masters Monday, and then the no par 3 contest, but fans will be allowed, certain number of fans. Starting next Thursday will be the first round of the Masters. This week they're in Texas for the last qualifier. Ricky Fowler has to qualify and win the thing if he's going to qualify for the Masters. It'd be crazy if he doesn't somehow make his way into there. The following week, I'm gone on my golf trip. So I can't wait for that.
Wow. Do you think Dustin Johnson can repeat? Can he go back-to-back? Or is this the year that...
Do I think he can? Yes. Do I think he will? No.
A lot of pressure doing something like that back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's harder for a guy to win it back-to-back years. I think this could be the year that one of our young guys, one of our young kids, these gunners we've had lately, has a chance to win. We're not going to have Brooks Koepka in it this year, unfortunately, due to his injury. They say he's going to be back. There was word he could be back for it. I don't think he will be. But I think it could be a Jon Rahm this year. I think it could be Colin Morikawa this year. There's a few young guns I think could do it again this year. Dustin, it was great. He tore away from the field. I just don't think he's – I think it's going to be one of the young guns. I really do.
Yeah, I know. I think it's like 9-1 odds, Bryson DeChambeau. I can't Bryson DeChambeau winning the Masters. But with Colin, like you said, like Colin Morikawa, you know what I'm saying, when I got my first, you know what I'm saying, legs – feet wet into an introduction to Colin Moore. He was kind of one I kind of was taken by. I kind of like what he, you know what I'm saying, what he was saying and how he golfed all last year. But for him winning the Masters last year was going to be a kind of a long shot. He ain't in necessarily in Tiger Woods kind of classification. But with, you know what I'm saying, within him being a more mature golfer right now, and then hell, I think he's in the top five leadership points this year. I think he's got a shot more so than anybody else. Outside of that, maybe
I like Justin Thomas too.
Yeah, him too. But obviously maybe Rory McIlroy because he's been playing better, you know. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's hard. It's crazy. We just had it in November, and now we're already getting the next one now. So looking forward to that. Hey, John, I don't know if you saw it this past weekend. NASCAR was at Bristol, their little short track, which is normally a concrete, but it was a dirt race this year.
Oh, wow. Oh,
they
wow.
They put Open tons up. And tons of dirt, and they had a dirt track that they had the actual NASCARs racing on out there. So they were kind of sliding in and drifting into the corners. It had mixed reviews. It was cool to see, but
right.
They didn't keep the track. They had to do it on Monday. They had to do the race on Monday because Sunday they had too many storms come through Saturday night, and there was major flooding around the track. So they
wow.
couldn't do it. But the dirt got too dry. So it was dusty, and it was during the day. So when you have sun and you have dust, you can't see. And
man,
it
right.
turned into accident central. So the day after, they already said they're doing it again next year, but I think they'll make some changes. I think they'll find a new compound for the dust, for the dirt to make
right.
it not as dusty. I think they'll keep it a little bit more watered. And I think they'll probably do a night race with it because you don't have to worry about that glare from the sun. Because it was completely brutal when I was watching it a little bit on Monday evening.
I got you. I have to check some of that out, man. I haven't seen that in quite some time. At all.
yeah. So it was something to see. Pretty cool. Anything else you got, John? Or we'll end the show this evening.
Dude, I think we hit all the major ones: NFL, NBA, PGA. You know what I'm saying? We're going to tune it up a whole lot, another notch as far as Major League Baseball is concerned in the upcoming weeks, man. I have been watching nothing but basketball, either on professional basketball or college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It's always a shame when the tournament – could you believe it, man? We had 68 teams at one point, and now we're down to the Final Four. You know what I mean? And it was all done here in the Circle City, man. I think it's going to be bittersweet for when they crown a champion, but I'm going to be there watching every game.
Yeah. Oh, I got one more thing for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What? WWE, they got rid of the Hurt Business.
Oh, my God.
Right before WrestleMania.
I haven't talked to Fred. You got to talk to Fred, you know what I'm saying, off air or two in between. Time and, you know what I'm saying, we kind of know Fred from the K-Paper, that's his opinion about
yep.
WWE booking or whatnot. That was a boneheaded move, man. You have a group that's way over. You can call them the Black Four Horsemen, or you can call them Black DX, whatever. I don't want to necessarily put black on it, but they're over. They're all black guys, you know what I'm saying? And they were over, and for them to like break up, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like I don't think they're gonna put it back together because they fought, you know what I'm saying? You know, you had Bobby Lashley
right.
out there ragdogging, he ragdolled Shelton Benjamin. So they had a good mouthpiece with MVP speaking for everybody. So I just when they keep groups like Retaliation together, and they keep other. Like storylines and factions together that are still aren't over, and like I said, the Hurt Business was over with the crowd. I know it's not necessarily a crowd physically, but with the crowd, you know what I'm saying. With fans, like
right.
it just doesn't make sense to do it so soon. Again, WWE's not they're not alone behold to hold on to anything for so long, but like this close to WrestleMania. You would think that the smart money would have been just to disband them or break them up to feed them out after WrestleMania, not 2 weeks before WrestleMania. So I don't know. It's Vince's mind, and it is what it is, man. He's got great Khali going into the Hall of Fame, and Big Van Vader is not a Hall of Fame, so it's crazy.
William Shatner as well going to the Hall of Fame. but also, by the way, I just watched something where they were talking. What was I watching? Was it a Bret Hart thing or something about Shawn Michaels? And they talked about him and Vader fighting. Shawn Michaels and Vader had a feud back in 1996, and Vader did not sell
two or three moves in the match with Sean, and obviously back then Sean was a complete ass to work with. But Vader did not sell two or three moves, and you could see it in the match. They were showing the video, and you could tell how pissed Sean was. And after that match, Vader never got another main event singles match or on top of the card anymore, which I thought was interesting for that. John, I am reading a new book. We promised you a great main event. It's an unauthorized WWE history book, behind the scenes stories of WWE, the beginning of it, kind of the years through the 80s and then through the 90s and then the 2000s. And it leads all the way up to where we're at now with WWE. Great book. Okay. I thought it was perfect in the beginning where it starts talking about the McMahon and the family, Vince Sr. and all that. One of the experts I love, I'm going to read it real quick from the book. From the very beginning of the company, long before the WWE, the McMahon family had been behind the scenes steering the ship for 40 years since the company had set sights on national, then global expansion. They had deals pursued, crying loudly and murdering the very sport in which they pride their trade. NFL fans hate Roger Goodell. NBA fans hated David Stern. Soccer fans hated everything about FIFA. NHL fans hate the rule that made the league soft and Gary Bettman. But no sport has ever despised and despot more than the wrestling industry loathes the McMahon family. They love Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon takes the credit when it's something happens. He takes the credit, and Vince McMahon also takes when it's not going so well and WWE or wrestling fans are upset. Vince takes the heat, and he takes it and accepts it himself. So I thought that was an interesting little insert there. I just started the first chapter last night a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit more of it tonight, but it looks like a great read.
I have to, you know me, I like the early morning read myself, man. So I have to scan me a copy of that too, man, for sure. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll let you wrap us up, brother.
Man, what a great show, man. I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurances. I want to also say thank you to our other sponsor, Maverick Customs Motorsports. How can we do what we do without them? I also want to make sure I thank the kid, as I'm going to call him, Connor Brownfield, ABA Arena, Public Arena. I keep on saying Public Arena.
Public Address.
Public Address for the Indiana Lions, man. I want to thank him for blessing us and coming on and talking about his journey with that particular job and the Indiana Lions themselves. Going to be some more information that we've reached out with some folks from the ABA, have some more team representatives come and kind of talk to us, kind of educate us on and educate the Crossroads listening audience about ABA basketball. Hell, this is Indiana, man. You know, so we love all levels of basketball here. So just outside of that, man, I encourage everybody to, you know what I'm saying, if you can just scan me a ticket to get to one of these final four games. You know, if you still got any stimulus left over, man, go ahead, go check out them. These four teams are the most deserving, man. Me and you, we picked out and we thought who was going to win or whatnot. But when I really looked down to it and seen how these teams play, man, I can't. You know, saying Houston, UCLA, Gonzaga, Baylor, man, this some good primetime basketball is being played, man. I wouldn't be surprised if Gonzaga doesn't win, but I think they will. But like I said, all these teams are playing excellent basketball, and I can't wait to chop into it, man. Outside of that, man, I just want to say thanks again. Thanks, Brandon Reif, for running the soundboards for us and whatnot. And, man, I don't want to keep on rambling, man, so I just say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.